and welcome to The Punt. Now, I know last week we all pretended that we enjoy watching international football, but this week we don't have to do that. DK and Alex are back to talk Premier League, Pozzo, and whether or not Newcastle will take another pummeling against Liverpool. A Knight of the Realm, Sir Anthony McCoy, takes on Easy as ABC, and Sav has his say on the opening exchanges in the top flight this season. Al Ross and Pete Barry's bid to bounce back from last week's reversals, and Derek and Gav are searching for more winners after last week's success. It's an action-packed show, and we start at Anfield with Liverpool taking on Newcastle. Now, Alex, I'm sure you always keep an eye out for this one as soon as the fixtures come out.
It certainly is, Emma, and it's normally a game that I make sure that I'm busy for, because Dave, Newcastle's record at Liverpool is shocking.
Oh, it's disastrous. They've not won there in the league since 1994. That's 23 matches unbeaten for Liverpool at Anfield against Newcastle, and that's why we've got these prices this weekend on the William Hill website and on the app. Liverpool 1-7 to win this game, the draw 7-1. With Newcastle in the betting at 20-1, how do you assess Newcastle's season so far? What are the positives? What are the negatives? What do Newcastle have to work on in the future?
Positives, 4 points from four is a positive, I suppose.
It's okay.
Good old relegation form. Negative would be getting rid of Rafa Benitez, bringing in Steve Bruce. The negative would be the defeat at Norwich, which was embarrassing. The positive is the win at Spurs. Yeah. You swap those two results around, no one's surprised by what's happened.
Yeah.
They're the two anomalies, if you like. I was at the Watford home game before the international break. 1-1 was a pretty fair result there. Yeah, it's been okay, but I don't think it's going to get any better this weekend.
No, Liverpool long odds on, as mentioned. There's a couple of enhanced odds that I really like on the William Hill website and on the app. Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane both to score. That was 2-1. That's been enhanced to 3-1. We talked about Newcastle's shocking record at Anfield. Sadio Mane, obviously playing for Liverpool, has got an amazing record at Anfield. 50 games, Sadio Mane at Anfield. That includes when with Southampton as well. Never been on the losing side, and that's an astonishing stat, I think.
It is, and it won't change this weekend. It'll be 51 not out for Mr. Mane. No, I think he's a fantastic player, isn't he? We've spoken about him quite a bit on this recently. The fact that he's the one who almost goes a little unheralded. Bobby Firmino gets a lot of plaudits for being the best in his position in the world.
Yeah.
Mo Salah gets the plaudits because he scores a lot of goals. And Sadio Mane is sort of the constant. He's always 8 out of 10, isn't he? Mm. Whereas the others will be in and out. He's always there, and he's a fantastic player when he's behaving himself and not kicking off.
Yeah, what do you make to that spat with Mohamed Salah? It happened a fortnight ago now against Burnley. I thought he'd maybe reconciled himself with the fact that he's not going to get passed to by Salah, because we know Salah's greedy, don't we? And that's what makes him great to a certain extent. Mm. And Mane is the sort of player that will link play together, and he doesn't mind being the creator and not the scorer, or seemingly. Jordan Henderson's face, by the way, was a picture, because he'd not seen that before, that side of Sadio Mane. It was a surprise to him.
I quite liked it, though, to be honest.
Yeah, I did as well.
Because I'd have been annoyed if I was him, to start with. He should have been passed to. Then he got taken off immediately afterwards. Then he had a go, and then it appeared that everything was fine afterwards. That's good.
Yeah.
I'd actually quite like that in a side. They're clearly hungry. They were, 2-3-0 up at the time anyway. I think it's pretty healthy, to be honest, as long as it doesn't manifest itself into something.
Yeah, and the air might be cleared now as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you just need... I mean, you and I fall out sometimes. I tell you exactly what I think of you, and then we're fine. And I look forward to next week's podcast, because I'll be telling Dave exactly what I think of you.
Let's talk about this game from a betting perspective then. I'm going with Liverpool to win this game. Obviously, everyone is, I think. I'm going Liverpool to win the game 2-0. It's a shade of odds on, but I fancy it. And I think Liverpool might win 3-0.
Yeah, there's only three Newcastle players who have actually scored at Anfield since 2004. And that's not factoring in Andy Carroll's spell there either, by the way. Newcastle scored 5 times since 2004. 2 own goals in there as well.
Yeah.
Generally, it's not a happy hunting ground, is it, at all? And it's a difficult game to find value in, really. As you said, Liverpool very, very short. I do expect them to win to nil, but I'm going to look for value with Virgil van Dijk.
Okay.
He scored in the first game of the season against Norwich. He scored at the back end of last season at St James's Park against Newcastle. And he's a fair price to score any time. He's the focal point for their set pieces. And I think he could wriggle free, get a bit of room in the box, and for him to score any time is actually a fair price.
Okay, Virgil van Dijk any time for Alex. Now, let's continue with our game, Easy as ABC. And this time, we've got a Knight of the Realm in action. Let's hand it over to Sir Anthony McCoy.
Arsenal, Burnley, Chelsea, Darlington, Everton, Feyenoord, Gillingham, Huddersfield, Islington, do they have a football team? Islington, oh, I'm lost with the oh God.
Last time.
Oh no, who's that?
Ipswich.
Sir Anthony McCoy there on location at the William Hill St Ledger Festival on Town Moor at Doncaster. And again, not the first person that's had trouble with the alphabet so far this season. And he did so well, got up to I, Ipswich, cost him.
Yeah, he was sort of flying and then he got stuck in an Islington rut. no, he was very good on a horse, not so good.
On the alphabet.
At the alphabet.
Yeah. Let's talk about Norwich versus Manchester City. Norwich 16-1 to win this game. The draw 15-2. Manchester City in the betting at 1-7. Raheem Sterling to score first was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 4-1. We've got Timu Pukki to have over two shots on target. That was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 11-2. And Kevin De Bruyne to score from outside the penalty area was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 7-1. We can't expect City to struggle in this game against Norwich, but I'm thinking about City defensively now, and maybe not for this game on Saturday afternoon, but in the future. They've lost Aymeric Laporte to a long-term injury. They didn't really replace Vincent Kompany. Mm. So they've only got two really recognised centre-halves now in John Stones and Nicolas Otamendi. And down the line, I think City are still going to win the league, but that might cost them a few points, maybe.
Well, John Stones has had injury problems at the start of the season. You've got Fernandinho, who can drop in to be a centre-half.
Yeah.
And the easy thing to say is, well, he's not a centre-half, but Pep did exactly the same with, say, Mascherano, didn't he, at Barca? And they can make that switch pretty seamlessly, to be honest, as they do get older and a little more experienced. And I think that there's a chance that is something that Norwich will look to pinpoint in this game, that City at the back could just be a little weak. I was concerned when City didn't buy a left-back in the summer. I'm not convinced by Mendy when he's fit. Zinchenko is a winger who they've converted. I think they could do with a rock-solid left-back. Although Zinchenko's done nothing wrong this season, you then look at a prospective back four for this game of perhaps Zinchenko, Fernandinho, Otamendi and Kyle Walker, and you go, well, it's not rock-solid,
no,
is it?
No.
And Norwich have looked lively going forward, haven't they, so far this season?
They have. They've conceded plenty of goals, Norwich, yeah. But they've scored plenty too. And Man City to win and both teams to score is 21-20. When I first came to approach this from a betting perspective, I was thinking I'll have City to win and both teams to score in this game, but I wanted a slightly bigger price than that. And we've got into this preview, got pretty deep into this preview, and you've not mentioned your Manchester City motto yet.
What is it, Dave? If you don't have the ball, you can't score. But it hasn't worked very well this season, has it? Because they keep letting goals in. No, they've been solid enough, City, so far. Do you know what? I think Norwich are more likely to score in this game than not. So I don't mind the City and both teams to score angle. But it wouldn't be the best bet in the game for me. But again, if you are looking at goal scorers, Timu Pukki has to be considered purely because he's the main man for Norwich. He's absolutely flying. He scored on international duty as well.
Yeah.
There's plenty to like about him. But again, he's fairly short to score.
I tell you what I fancy in this game. I fancy Raheem Sterling on the back of that unbelievable international break to come back flying in this fixture. I think Raheem Sterling's going to score first in this game. What's your bet?
Well, Raheem Sterling is now quite simply one of the best players in the world.
Yes.
And he's absolutely flying at present. And I certainly couldn't put you off that bet at all. I think City will win. I think both teams to score is fairly likely. But I'm going to focus on Kevin De Bruyne. He's a man that I've put up a couple of times this season.
Yeah.
Didn't actually back him when he scored against Brighton in the last game week.
That's typical, isn't it?
Scored first as well in the first 2 minutes. He's then gone away to play for Belgium, scored against Scotland, got 3 assists in that game as well. The man is a machine, and he's actually a fair price here. Norwich defensively still leave a lot to be desired. I think City are going to find gaps here. So I think we'll see a high-scoring encounter. I'd back De Bruyne anytime.
De Bruyne to score any time, the bet for Mr. Dunn. Now let's hear from Mr. Savage, who talks about the opening exchanges in the Premier League season. So here's Robbie.
I'm
month in, a managerial sacking. I've had shouts for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer out. Pepe is better than Mo Salah. David Luiz better than Van Dijk. And Mesut Ozil better than Kevin De Bruyne. And Arsenal will win the league. A month in, what have we witnessed so far? Well, it's a two-horse race, City and Liverpool. Can Sergio Aguero continue his fine form and get to the end of the season with the golden boot? Or will Pookie at Norwich stop him? What a start. Daniel James, wow, pace, power, amazing. United need to see games out though. Starting games well, playing dynamic, but they can't keep hold of leads. Nor can Chelsea, wow, playing some good stuff under Frank Lampard, but currently mid-table. Can they finish in that top four? Can Arsenal finish in the top four if they play the front three of Aubameyang, Lacazette and Pepe? I think they can. Spurs kept hold of Eriksen, so important. Sheffield United playing some great stuff, bottom three. Watford currently bottom, another managerial sacking. Villa and Norwich, wow, what a start we've had.
All Robbie Savage's thoughts there in 60 seconds, and we actually got some of them twice as well.
I'm amazed he filled 60 seconds.
Bournemouth-Everton is up next, Sunday, 2 o'clock, this one. Bournemouth are 2-1 to win it, the draw 12-5, Everton in the betting at 27-20. Enhanced odds are plenty on the William Hill website and on the app, and don't forget you can build a Your Odds bet as well with William Hill. Luka Dinya to assist a goal in the game was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 4-1, which does look appealing. Mm. And if you fancy Callum Wilson and Richarlison both to score, that was 6-1. That's been enhanced to 8-1. I think we're expecting an entertaining encounter. I am anyway at the Vitality. Everton, like a few weeks ago, we were talking about their solid defensive record stretching from the back end of last season. That's been blown out of the water. They're conceding goals. And Bournemouth, in their reign in the Premier League, since 2015, no team in the Premier League has conceded more goals than Bournemouth. Mm. Obviously, that's a misleading stat, because if you concede as many as they do, you get relegated. I worry about that stat, though, because it highlights how Eddie Howe has been unable to change and make them more solid defensively.
I'm concerned about Bournemouth. Oh, I have been. I wouldn't say concerned, actually. That's the wrong word, but they don't buy very well, I don't think, in the transfer market. If you look at their key players right now, they've been key players for a while, and players have come in that have cost a fair bit and haven't really hit the mark. I'm thinking Solanke, I'm thinking Jordan Ibe. They've not really come in and been absolutely superb.
Yeah.
That said, the players that were there, the likes of Fraser and Wilson and King, have actually done fantastically well, and they've kept their position. And I love watching Bournemouth, because they are pretty fearless, aren't they? They just go and have a go. Mm. And no matter who they're playing, they seldom change their system. They just go and have a good go, which is good. Everton, on the other hand, I don't want to come across like I don't like Everton, but I feel like I am doing that in recent weeks. It's more as a betting proposition, they are not to be trusted, because they're way too short week in, week out for a side that are always capable of letting in one, sometimes two goals. We saw on international duty Michael Keane. He's a solid defender at his best. When he's not at his best, he lets three in against Kosovo.
Yeah, I don't think he's the future. I don't think he's going to be a centre-half, starting centre-half for England in the next 5-6 years, personally. As far as this game is concerned, I like goals in the game. I think we'll have an entertaining match. I mean, the results between these two sides suggest we're going to get over 2.5 goals. I think we might even get over 3.5 goals. And I looked at the prices and I thought Bournemouth were overpriced in the game as well.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I'm inclined to agree with you, Dave. Also, goals guaranteed here. Now, let's make no secret of this, Dave. You write these, and that's the best you could come up with. Now, the thing is, I tried to help out here, but what did I come up with? Sticky toffee cherry pudding.
It was something about puddings, wasn't it? Didn't work.
If you've got an idea, by the way, out there, let us know, please. Because we had half an idea there, didn't we, for something that would be borderline witty.
We like trying to get some decent puns on there, and if you're watching every week, you'll see that. But we didn't on this occasion. What's the bet in the match?
I'm going to go with goals. I mean, it's no secret that in recent fixtures, we've seen goals, and more goals between these two.
Yep.
This is a game I'm really looking forward to just sitting down and watching. There's some games that are televised, and you think, I might give that a miss. This one, I'll be there, and I'll be there with bells on, Dave. I think we're going to see loads of goals. Both teams to score, I'd take as a banker. I'd be backing over 2.5. I'd be backing over 3.5.
Yeah.
I could even back over 4.5, you know. I think it's one of those games. We'll see loads of goals. I can see it ending potentially maybe 3-2, something like that. Best bet, I'm going to go with Bournemouth and both teams to score, but anything goals-based, anything entertainment-based, fill your boots in this game. I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too. Very good. Let's hear from Emma now on this week's, speaking of goals, Golden Goal match.
It's great to have the Premier League back, and that means Golden Goal returns for the Watford-Arsenal game. If you haven't had a go, this is how it works. If the team you back to win in 90 minutes scores first, you win, no matter what the result. All the T's and C's and the betting is at williamhill.com and on the app.
Yes, this is the Golden Goal match. It is at Vicarage Road. It's a 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Watford taking on Arsenal. Watford 27-10. The draw 27-10. Arsenal in the betting at even money. Enhancements are plenty on the website as usual. Nicolas Pepe to assist a goal is available at 3-1 from 5-2. I actually think he'll score a goal this weekend.
You nearly said it, didn't you?
Yeah, nearly said it. I was like, get that on the website. Yeah, I fancy Pepe to score. I've been pretty impressed with him. I know that. He's not really, if you've got him in your fantasy team, he's not done anything yet. Yeah. But I like him. I think he's going to be an absolute star. I know they paid like whatever it was, 70-odd million for him. So he's got to be good. But I fancy him to score this weekend.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan, and immediately that lessens my enthusiasm for him. I think he's good, but only good so far.
Okay.
He's fast.
Oh, he's very fast.
We'll give him that.
Very fast,
but
yeah.
You need a bit more than being a fast runner. To be fair, he's shown some nice touches so far.
Yeah, there's been glimpses.
He's bedding in, and I agree. It could be that over the next few weeks he explodes onto the scene. And he could well score here as well. I couldn't put you off backing him here.
Can I mention my best bet this week?
Yes.
It comes in this game.
Okay.
I like Arsenal to win and both teams to score in the game. It's available at 21-10, which I think is an absolutely outstanding price. We saw in the North London derby, Arsenal do look very strong coming forward. They're still suspect defensively. And Watford have got a new manager in charge as well. New old manager in charge.
Yeah, it's sort of deja vu, isn't it, for Watford fans. They hadn't sacked a manager for a really long time by their standards. And yeah, they've lost patience with Javi Gracia. And to be fair, I can sort of see why they're doing it. Look, they never get it wrong.
No, they don't.
That's
the key, isn't it?
They never look like they're going to get relegated. They always switch off when it gets to February, March time. It's just a given. They normally do enough at the start of the season, though. That's the issue here is if Watford finish the season as they tend to do and they haven't accrued enough points before then, they could be in a bit of bother. But I think they've got enough. That their squad's good. Worth bearing in mind for this game, Troy Deeney, of course, still out. He does not like Arsenal. Arsenal do not like him, but he's not playing in this game. That may take a little bit of the edge out of it, because, of course, he got sent off the last time that they played, and that was Arsenal's only away clean sheet in the Premier League last season.
Yeah.
Was away at Watford, and that was when Deeney got himself sent off after 10 minutes. This season, Arsenal have already kept one clean sheet on the road. I'd be surprised if they keep another one here, though, to be honest.
I would. You mentioned the Pozzo family have such success, and they always seem to have the right man to step into the breach, and that they appoint quickly. And they've gone with Kike Sanchez Flores. Obviously, all those pundits come out and say, well, Javi Gracia has been treated abysmally. He's led Watford to their highest ever Premier League finish. They've got to an FA Cup final. But I think in this situation, teams often don't act quickly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they make the change later on in the season when they're already backs against the wall. Watford have done it early. I think it will turn out to be the right decision. And I think he's a very good manager as well, Kike Sanchez Flores.
I think he is. I think Javi Gracia is too. I think whatever happened, they wouldn't have gone down, personally. I don't think it would have mattered who was in charge. But they've changed it up again. The squad's just got too much ability to go down.
Yeah.
I know it's a phrase that is sometimes used, they're too good to go down. Watford are. The fact that they've made this decision early means that they can't make it again this season, or can they? You wouldn't be surprised, would you?
Bets in this game. I'm going with Nicolas Pepe to score. Been really impressed with him, as mentioned. And I fancy Arsenal to win and both teams to score.
I like Pepe. We've already highlighted that. I think he's a fantastic player. And I started to look at him in this game. I'm less keen on Arsenal in the outrights, to be honest. I don't think that the price of around even money is that appealing for them. But I'd take the outright out of it personally. I found a bit of value here. Hughes to score at any time is way, way too big. He's a player who doesn't score all that often, which isn't a great start to this. But he's a lively player. He gets in and around the box. He scored against Newcastle a couple of weekends ago. And he's a monster price. He's a bigger price than the likes of Tom Cleverley, who mainly plays in the middle and plays sideways passes. Hughes at least gets forward. Yep. He's a massive price to score any time. And because he does get substituted a lot, you may want to back him to score first at an even bigger price, but that's we're living in dreamland for that, Dave. Yeah, Will Hughes is a bit of value for me in this.
Yeah, and if you want a winning bet, I've gone with Arsenal and both teams to score in this game. By the way, we've got Derek's bit coming next, and Derek always pours scorn over the international scene, but it was the same last year on the punts. He only tips winners in international football, and he had one last week, so Derek looking to double up, let's hear from the man himself, Mr. McGovern.
There's only one way to settle the dispute between Michael Owen and Alan Shearer. Fight! Owen's written a book in which he makes it clear that he's never put a foot wrong in his career or his life. There's a word for a book like that. Autobiography. Shearer had the hump because Owen, despite being paid huge wages, was only a bit part player under him at Newcastle. But that's because all his parts were in bits. Remember that brochure he published extolling his virtues? One Premier League manager opened it rather too vigorously and Owen's hamstring went. He moved from Liverpool, where with Emil Heskey he was one part of a feared strike force, to Real Madrid, where with David Beckham he was part of an English invasion, and later to Stoke, where with Peter Crouch he was part of a ventriloquism act. Whoever organises those celebrity boxing matches should move heaven and earth to get Shearer and Owen into the ring together. I know who my money would be on. Whoever loses. Maybe the same celebrity boxing bigwig should get Fergie and Roy Keane in the ring too. Keane's been giving Fergie stick again this week. Just as he did when his old boss was embroiled in that Rock of Gibraltar farrago all those years ago. Poor old Fergie, if you remember, was caught between a rock and a hard case. I still say Fergie's retirement is a big loss for football. Approximately 5 minutes a game. The Premier League's finally back this weekend and sees Arsenal travel to a Watford team who have just appointed a new manager. Now, there's a good reason for this. Watford are always appointing a new manager. Arsenal got slaughtered on the road so often last season, I thought their nickname was the Hedgehogs. But one of the few away games they did win was at Vicarage Road. In fact, they've won 3 of the last 4 times they've met. So the evens available for them to do so again this weekend is begging to be monstered. Get on and then get on again.
I love Derek because every single season he mocks the international break and he always puts up a winner in the international break. He should be begging for more international football.
Yeah, he had Russia, didn't he?
He did.
On last week's podcast. And he's on your side this time around.
He is. He's gone with Arsenal, which concerns me slightly, but I'm hoping he's going to go back-to-back. He's just gone Arsenal straight win. I fancy Arsenal on both teams to score. We finished the week with Monday Night Football, Aston Villa taking on West Ham. Villa 13-8, the draw 5-2, West Ham 8-5, so very little between the two teams in terms of the betting. I like West Ham, though. I think West Ham have looked pretty good so far this season. Sebastian Allaire's come in from Eintracht Frankfurt, had a fantastic scoring record there, and he looks good. He's going to form a very strong partnership trio with Felipe Anderson one side, Andrei Yarmolenko the other side. I think that front three is actually red hot.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that, to be honest. Going forward, West Ham look good. Defensively, they look fairly solid. They've made a really, really good start to the season. There's plenty to like about them. There's plenty to like about Villa as well, though, to be honest. I like the way that they're going about things. They've got good players in key positions. Tyrone Mings at centre-half, McGinn in the centre.
Yeah.
Wesley up front's impressed me as well. There's a lot to like about both sides here. I know you like West Ham. Outright, I'm less convinced in this game. I think if push came to shove, I'd probably just go with Villa, but it wouldn't be a strong selection. This is one of the most difficult games of the week for me.
It is a very tricky game to call, this one. I'm going with the Hammers. I think West Ham will win. I just think they're the better of the two sides. What's your bet in the match?
I'm going to take the outright result out of it because I do think it's too tight to call.
Okay.
I'm going to focus on one man and one big man, and that is Wesley for Aston Villa. I think he's really been quite impressive so far this season with his hold-up play in games where Villa haven't had much of the ball and then against sides that they can have a go at. He's had a go at them. For him to score first is a fair price, and he did so against Everton. They beat Everton 2-0 a few weeks back.
Yeah.
I see this as being a similar kind of game. I think Wesley to score first could provide you with a bit of value in a tricky punting tie.
Okay, Wesley to score first, the bet on Monday Night Football for Alex. Let's hear from the Football League fellas with their best bets this week.
Well, my nap this week is going to be Blackburn at 23-20 to beat Millwall. Millwall yet to win away from home, only three games, mind you, but two draws and a loss is a worrying run of form when you consider they took just 14 points on the road last season. At home, Millwall always interesting. Away, always, I think, opposable. For Blackburn, have won at home already this season, beating Borough, and while they did lose on the opening day to Charlton, I think there's a lot more to come from this Tony Mowbray side. So for me, 23-20, Blackburn, my nap of the week.
My nap this weekend is returned to Blackpool, who are evens at home to MK Dons. Blackpool at home played 3, 7 points from 9. MK Dons away from home played 2, lost 2. And in fact, their last 15 games away from home, MK Dons, they've lost 10 of them. And 7 have been over 2.5 goals. So look at Blackpool to win and over 2.5 goals to bump up the price. MK Dons have played 3 times at Blackpool and lost all 3. My nap is Blackpool, evens against MK Dons.
Yes, it might be early in the season, but even just 7 games in, first against 17th, shouldn't see the home side as basically even money. That's Exeter 19-20, the nap this week. 4 wins in a row, 17 points plus 6 goal difference in the league. Leighton Orient, 8 points, 1 win in 4, but that was in the trophy. 1 point from a possible last 9 in the league, minus 7 goal difference. And they have been outplayed in pretty much every league match this season. That is all you need to know. Exeter 19-20.
At this juncture, if you're listening, please go to YouTube and watch, because this is a pleasant sight, isn't it? This Naps table.
How have we let this happen?
Well, I've jumped. It's been a... Is it okay to call it a meteoric rise in the last few weeks?
No, it's not.
I think it is. I was down here and I'm up there. I'm plus 51 for the season. I'm absolutely delighted. I really am. Yeah, you can't tell, can you?
No, the words smug and, well, I won't say the other word that comes to mind. 51 quid, hats off to you, Dave.
Yeah.
You have been in decent form. I'm less convinced with your nap this week.
I like it when you like my nap, because that's been a positive. Two of the last 3 weeks, I think you've been with me and it's come in. But I'm going Arsenal to win and both teams to score. It's 21-10. I think we'll see an improved performance from Watford now that Kike Sanchez-Flores is back. They'll get that new manager bounce, but I like Arsenal coming forward, so I think that's going to be entertaining. I'm going Arsenal winning both teams to score at 21-10.
And Arsenal for Derek as well.
Yeah.
Blackpool, Exeter, Blackburn for the Football League, guys. And I'm going with Blackburn's rivals, Burnley, to win on the south coast at Brighton. They've got a really good record against Brighton. And they are phenomenally big in the betting. I mean, Brighton are not very good. They've got one player I like, that's Trossard. Otherwise, I can leave Brighton well alone. Burnley, I know results-wise, haven't been so good recently after winning the first game of the season, but they've played some decent teams in there as well.
Yeah.
They're a massive prize. Ashley Barnes has been in good form. Brighton, I think I'm right in saying, it's 14 league games since they scored more than one goal at home.
Oh, right.
So that's a good start. If you can see Burnley scoring here, then immediately you're halfway there, if you like, at least. I think it's an absolutely phenomenal price. I was absolutely flabbergasted by it, to be honest.
Okay.
So Burnley win, and that is quite a confident pick for me as well.
It's 5-2 for Burnley to win this weekend. Thank you, Alex, for your company once again on The Punt.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's contributed, and thanks for watching or listening to The Punt. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app, and myself and Alex will be back next week. And if you're having a bet, the very best of luck, and we'll see you again soon.